What's up, guys? Welcome to the fourth episode of the Music Producer Podcast, brought to you by me, your host, Cotty from Cotty Productions and HypeBeats.com. Welcome in today, guys. If you are joining us and this is the first time you're joining us, then you are in for a treat. I have a special, awesome guest joining us today, Dimitri Medina. He is a producer, singer, songwriter. He's been in the music industry for 15 plus years, and he will be going over a bunch of things with us. Hey, Dimitri, how are you, man?
Hey, I'm good, Cotty. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, of course, man. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, definitely. So for those of you that don't know who Dimitri is he's a producer, musician who also has been finding some crazy success on TikTok and other social media platforms right now. Dimitri, obviously you have a large following on TikTok, and you know, I think that you can attribute that to just the postings that you've been putting on there. I've been watching your content. It's awesome, man. I'm a big fan of that. So
thank you, man. I really appreciate that.
Of course. Could you tell us like what happened there? Like what did you do, and was it like one TikTok or was it like multiple TikToks? How did that come about?
So yeah, in the beginning, I actually was not a huge fan of TikTok. I didn't even really consume content on the platform. I saw some posts that somebody had shared to me of a guy doing beats on TikTok. And I was like, oh, there's music on TikTok. I thought it was just dancing, you know, I thought it was just right. Like people go on there to dance. And so it was kind of crazy. That kind of got the wheels turning in my head, because I've been producing music for 14 or 15 years. And so my whole life, I've never really gone public with my craft and what I do. I pretty much do everything in the shadows. I ghost produce. I've been in bands and toured and all these crazy things, but never really thought to be a social media like influencer of any sort. That was never really my plan. But I started, you know, taking some of my creative ideas and I said, okay, well, I'll download TikTok. And I downloaded it and I started posting videos of my singing. That was like the thing. I thought maybe singing is the thing, you know? So I did a few videos of me singing, but I think they were overproduced. I think that they were YouTube videos that I had snipped up to size for TikTok, and they didn't do very well. They got like 100 views or 200 views, something like that. I could get more on Facebook with just my friends and family, you know? So, I was like, okay, whatever. So like a couple months pass and I'm like, I do this like little White Claw remix where I take a White Claw can and I like turn it into this rap beat and then I rap over it. And then that one didn't do well either. But all my friends were like, dude, this is amazing. Why isn't this getting views? They all thought it was awesome. And so I didn't really get discouraged. I just didn't want to sink any more time into it. Well, then I saw one producer on TikTok, and I honestly can't remember the name of the person right now. I remember his videos. I just can't put a name to his face. And he was like, bring in the drums and then bring in the vocals. And then he would like go and sound like somebody, but it was the...
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I forget his name. And I hope that we could put it in this video afterwards, but give him a shout out. But
I follow him on Instagram and everything too.
Yeah. He kind of inspired the idea like, oh man, I need to show my face. I need to show my face. I can't just show the computer and everything that I'm doing. People don't care. And then I realized that listeners don't care about the technical stuff. They just want to see that I made this from somewhat scratch or entirely from scratch. They want to see the process. Right. They want to be a part of the process. That's what it is. And then they want to be a part of the process with me, not just looking at the screen of alien language. You know, listeners don't understand
right.
Studio or Ableton, you know, they don't get what we're doing on there. So it really just doesn't excite them. Like the music and being a part of the music excites them.
Absolutely.
So I was like, okay, I'll show my face in this video and we'll just see what happens. And it was what are they called? I can't even remember the name. What is that one?
I don't know what the name is. I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, anyways, I took that and I just like recreated the beat, but with heavy bass.
Right.
And I was like, it's time for a bass lift. Cause I was there. I was thinking there's songs that need a facelift. You know, they just need to be like a little dirtier, a little grittier.
Nice.
The idea was I'll just call it a bass lift. And then that caught on that video. It ended up getting, you know, like 10,000 plays or something. And I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and then I did another one from this pop out remix. And that one just went off. I mean, I went up to like 500,000 plays in like a few days.
Wow.
And then my follower count just started to like go up and up. And then I realized, oh my goodness, this is all getting traction.
Yeah.
This is crazy. I was actually painting a house with my buddy. He's a painter. He owns a painting company. And I'm just covered in paint and I'm all dirty and like overgrown. And he actually took a video of me at that moment where I'm like refreshing on my phone. And I'm like, dude, I don't know what's happening right now. Like, what am I supposed to do with all this? All these people like are messaging me. What am I supposed to do here?
Yeah.
And he actually filmed me because he wanted to capture that moment for, you know, whatever happens in the future. It was just a really cool moment because I really didn't think anything I was doing was going to pop off on TikTok. That wasn't the goal, really. Like,
right.
I was just trying it out, you know. Instagram has never really done anything for me. I can't for the life of me get a following on Instagram, but TikTok allowed because of the algorithm and how when someone likes something, it goes up in the queue. And then when someone shares it, it goes up in the queue. And then when someone duets it, it goes up in the queue. So
right,
it's like
right.
All these different factors. So if you can, so basically what I did with those three videos that I did, the third one did really well. So basically I copied my own formula and just pasted the formula over and over again. I was like, okay, I need to have a intro that's like super quick, less than a second or maybe a second at the most, and then get straight into a few things, mainly the bass. People want to see what bass sound I used, whatever patch that is.
Yeah.
They want to hear it.
Yeah.
And so I just jump right into it and give people no time to swipe. That's kind of the idea. And so I just copied and pasted my method, and then pretty much every single one after that goes viral. I actually have one that I'm going to be posting tonight.
Nice.
I'm really excited about
it. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Listeners, man. Pay attention. He's giving us a formula on how.
Yeah,
to
no, that is, I don't mind sharing it, man. I shared it with my buddy Rocky. He's actually outside right now. And I shared it with him and I told him exactly what I do. And I didn't tell him to steal what I do. You know, he does his own music. Okay.
Right.
But I told him, steal the cuts, steal the way in which I do it, you know, get hook them in. And then after that 1 second, tell them what you're doing and then show them what you're doing just
right.
For a split second. And then just show them the song for 35 seconds, you know, 45 seconds, show them the song on the timeline. So they see that you did that. You did that, all that you created. And so I showed him and I told him, just try it, man. Try it out. And he's also known for rapping on TikTok, but he went and shifted and started doing some EDM stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then within a few weeks, he was up to like 50,000 followers.
Wow.
So I'm not like pitching anything. I'm not running. I'm not doing no classes or nothing.
Right.
You know? Like, this is me just giving away like the what I learned, you know?
Wow, that's
you,
awesome.
You kind of find the formula and then you realize it works on everybody. Not everybody, but on the general population that
yeah.
Like my content, I'm getting new viewers with this formula,
yeah.
Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You're just playing the algorithm.
Yeah. That's really cool. And it's funny that you say that because I actually had a lot of success on Instagram back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on Instagram for like 12 years now.
Yeah.
But when I first started out, Instagram was like such a new platform that when I would post, I'd be showing up on like the popular page.
Yeah.
And that's how I got a lot of my following. So I just thought like maybe I could transfer that over to TikTok. So I actually tried a TikTok myself. It wasn't like a music producer based TikTok at first. And
yeah.
I tried those same videos that you're talking about and it just didn't work for me, but that's because I wasn't following that formula. I was just showing like the keys and I was showing like the actual like screenshot of Logic, you know, but apparently you got the formula. I got to follow.
Well,
next time.
The number one thing I'll tell you, man, is it's not just the formula. It's people want to know you.
Right.
So
yeah.
if you're camera shy or you don't want to be you or even someone else, you can play a character. You know, I play different characters in my TikToks.
Yeah.
I do all sorts of accents and just get fun with it. You know, I do this stuff in my regular life, you know, like I'll be teasing my girlfriend and like in different accents, you know, like just to get a laugh or a smile out of people, you know, I do that stuff. So I was like, why not do it on TikTok? Cause my friends laugh and they smile when I do it. Why wouldn't a stranger, you know?
Right, right.
And even when I'm in a restaurant or something like that, pre-COVID, you know, people that I didn't even know would laugh or smile when I was, you know, talking in a Scottish accent or something like that, you know?
I think that's a big lesson to take away too, is that, you know, as a musician, you know, I'm my whole podcast is for independent musicians, right? So as a musician, I think a lot of people need to realize that they need to be like the character. They need to be like the center point of their music. And that was something that I didn't do for a really long time, is like, I kind of strayed away from it, you know, from being that person. And I think there's a big, big lesson in that you're telling us right now.
Yeah, man. It's really hard for someone like me, especially because like, I'm all like self-conscious of being on camera, you know, like it's really rough for me. I don't really like to see myself on the camera. But what happened is I just flipped a switch when I had that first video pop off. Not a single person said a thing about my looks. Not a single person said a thing about, you know, oh, you know, this fat guy or whatever, you know, like none of that.
Right.
And that's what goes on in my head. You know what I mean? Like, I'm always fluctuating in weight and I'm always like, man, I lose 20 pounds and then I gain 10 and then I'm losing 10 and then I'm gaining 20. And it's like, I'm always all over the place and I'm like, man, I just don't want to be on camera until I'm back in shape again. And that's kind of like the thought process, you know, because I take my health and my fitness very seriously when I'm in it, but when I'm focused on business, work, and music, I lose sight of that fitness goals. And so like, I kind of get the studio bod going, you know?
Yep.
So my whole idea in the beginning was so stupid. I was like, I cared so much about how I looked, you know? And now it's like, I realize people don't care about that.
Right.
Why am I robbing people of like the music that I have to offer? Cause people could enjoy this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you got to accept yourself and say like, I'm probably a pretty likable person, you know, like I want to give this stuff to people that makes me likable. You know, I want to give people this music. They can go listen to it. They don't have to spend any money. I'm not pitching anything.
Mm-hmm.
That should make me a pretty good person. You know what I mean? Like to want to just give, that's a giver personality, you know? So if people are going to hate on the way I look, then that doesn't really matter. And there's not going to be that many people that do that, you know? So that's my thing, is like, people need to get over their phobias about themselves on camera and then just be yourself or be the character you want to be on camera and to just go for it. Because I can tell you that TikToks that don't have you in them are much less likely to be successful. People want the personality. They want to peer into your life, you know?
Right. Nice. Well, thank you for that. I think that's huge. That's huge information that a lot of people definitely need to.
Yeah, man. I'm glad I could share it.
So do you consider yourself like a TikToker now?
I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess so, man. I guess I'm a TikToker. I guess that's what it makes me.
Oh, wow. What'd you think about the whole like banning thing when that was getting brought up?
You know, when that started to happen, when it you know came up and people were freaking out when there was a little glitch in the system that TikTok had a couple months back or a month back, and people were like, this is goodbye, you know, I'm a US creator. I actually made a video that was like, it's been a good run, guys, you know, like we made it to 100K, I appreciate you guys, you know, like. And then basically just telling people about my Instagram, if they want to continue to follow my content, go ahead and hop over there if you guys are diehard fans, because otherwise I don't know if you'll find me again. And then I started, I was going to post it. Actually, no, I did post it. And because of the bug, it didn't post. And then I started seeing people posting, oh, it was just a bug, it's not banned. So luckily I didn't shoot my shot, you know, about the ban too quick. And then tell everybody to leave and go follow me on Instagram. I mean, it would have been nice if people did do that and then TikTok didn't get banned. That would be pretty cool. But Yeah, I was prepared for it. And actually, I was even going to go download a VPN and try to attempt to log on to TikTok from like a Canadian server or something like that. It's completely legal to use a VPN, you know?
Yeah. So, I wonder how many people actually thought about doing that, because every time I saw somebody posting on TikTok about how TikTok was being banned, they like tried to reroute them to another social media platform.
Right.
But I wonder if people actually thought about that besides, I'm sure there were some people, but I don't think everybody would have thought of that. Yeah.
Yeah. It eventually came to light on TikTok. People were like, if TikTok gets banned in the US, download a VPN, and then you can basically host your IP address from a different country while you're on TikTok, and you can still continue to be on TikTok. So that's kind of the workaround. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't think it's going to get banned. I think there's too many employees involved in the US for the TikTok platform. And they have too many, the blood and sweat and tears of TikTok really flows through the United States. And I feel like the platform wouldn't survive without the US. I just don't think it would. And so I think that it's going to stick around as long as it possibly can. And they can lobby against it, but the amount of people in the US that would not accept that is way too large.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know they were talking about having Bill Gates buy it out or whatever and all that stuff. But
oh, yeah.
I don't know.
There's a lot of talk about a lot of things.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see what happens. For now, I'm just enjoying the ride and getting back on the saddle. I took a couple months off because I had my hard drive fail, and my backup didn't necessarily fail, but it stopped backing up. I had it set up to auto backup, and it hadn't backed up for a couple months.
Yeah.
So when my computer crashed, the hard drive crashed, I was a couple months behind on backup. So like songs I was working on that people wanted me to release, like the Wipe It remix and the All Time Low remix,
mm-hmm.
Both of those got lost on the hard drive. So I couldn't release those songs.
So you don't have access to those at all anymore?
No, I have the MP3 files. That's it. I don't have the actual. I don't have the actual files anymore. I would have to recreate the songs.
Wow, that's
so that hurt, and that really discouraged me from getting back on and posting, because I know a lot of I probably get 10 to 20 messages a day just about the Wipe It remix or the All Time Low remix.
Yeah.
So it's a bummer, man, and people are not happy with me about it, but.
Well, if you could do it once, maybe you can do it again. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
But let's talk about your music a little bit, because I noticed that you're not just a producer. You also do singing. Also do singing, and it looked like you were kind of involved with somebody else. Was it Jaded? I think I saw.
Yeah, Jaded with Careless Records. Mm-hmm. I met Johnny, the owner of Careless Records. I met him, I believe, on Instagram or Facebook. He had reached out about some vocals that I did or that my girlfriend Allie did. And basically, he featured me on his song Heart of Gold on Careless Records. And that actually did pretty well. It's like an EDM kind of festival banger. And had me sing on that. And I do primarily singing for a living. Like I do sample packs for I've worked with Cymatics, Ghost Hack, Black Octopus Sounds, I work really close with. And I've done stuff for like Big Fish Audio and a bunch of people. I'm in the sample pack industry. That's what I do for a living.
Nice.
So I meet a lot of people through that, you know, people who want vocals on their song, not just vocal packs, you know.
Right.
So I met Johnny from Careless Records doing vocals, and then we've kind of amped up our relationship and done bigger and better things together with his artists, because Jaded is one of his artists on the label.
Nice.
And so when he asked me to be featured on that song, I was really excited, because it has this res mid-tempo like hard-hitting vibe to it. And I could really get really dark with the lyrics, but also like really inspiring with the lyrics for people who may have struggled with addiction or, gone through something like that. It really tells a story, that song does. And so I think it's doing really well right now because of that, the story that the music tells, and then also the story that the lyrics are telling on top of that music. It just all really vibes well together.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, I mean, your voice is amazing, by the way. You have a really nice
Thank
voice.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I was like, wow. I was really surprised when I heard you sing. I was like, Does it look like that should come out of
Yeah, I did. So I came up in the metal world, like hardcore and metal for about 5 or 6 years. So we were signed to major label management, and we toured with major label bands. My band was called Willows. And so we've toured with bands like Demon Hunter, The Plot and You, Bleeding Through, Cancer Bats, and we've played with, I mean, pretty much everybody that's come through Salt Lake when I lived in Salt Lake City. So I came up screaming and singing and, you know, doing all the like rock, like hard, heavy rock singing.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until I moved out here to Coeur d'Alene and did my own thing that I started like doing more like acoustic guitar singing and stuff and really focusing on my voice and my craft there. So now I can just sing like all these different styles, and it's really cool because it allows me to be more versatile on a track, you know?
Yeah.
And then I grew up on hip hop and rap. So I've always been kind of a lyricist, you know? So there's that as well. So it's like, it's really given me a nice foothold in the industry to be able to like provide hooks for people in different genres, like pop, EDM, rock, metal, reggae, R&B, soul, trap, you know, any of these genres, I can work those genres, funk, you know, like these are all things that I've somehow managed to get my feet in the door with one of these genres at some point in time. Yeah. This is all I do, man. I dropped out of high school for this. Like,
really? Wow.
Yeah. I dropped out of high school to do music as full time as I could. So wow. Yeah, it's my life. It's all I do.
Well, that's really cool. That's awesome. I actually just started focusing on this full time probably right around COVID, like the beginning of COVID.
Yeah.
You know, because I lost my full-time gig, my full-time job, my career, if you want to call it that. And I didn't know what else to do. And I was like already producing for a few years at that time.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I need to take this seriously. Like, I need to do music. Like, this is my passion. So like, that's really cool that you've been doing it since the beginning. Like, you went after it, which is what I've been kind of talking about on the podcast a little bit, about people that do want to take it seriously, like how they have to treat it as like a business and not really just a hobby. And that's cool that you've been doing it for so long.
Thank you, man. Yeah, yes. That's awesome. We'll have to connect afterwards and you know, talk more about what you're doing, and I'm always networking, man. You know, yeah. I'm always networking. I'm always open to new opportunities, and just expanding, you know, expanding that. As musicians, we really got to work together more, because in this industry, musicians really become kind of hermits and exclusive to themselves almost.
Yep.
And I'm not about that. I've got about two to five people in my studio every day.
Wow.
That either show up, or they're here to perform and work, or they're just checking in, just to kind of shadow and learn. Like, I'm cool with that. That's what it's about, man. We got to share the craft and keep the music alive, because, you know, there's a ton of listeners at home that all want to listen to music. And then there's a ton of people that are closet musicians, but they're not putting out quality work, so it doesn't get heard by enough people. Right. But they're really talented. They just haven't had the tools yet to make that quality sound that's radio ready or Spotify ready, you know? And so it's like, this is music that people aren't able to hear because someone just lacks the mixing or the mastering abilities, you know?
Yeah.
And that, to me, it sucks, because I've met a few people that are like that. And then I help them put the music that's in their head on the paper and in the program, and really helped them bring that idea to life. And it actually did really well, you know, and people were able to hear that. Thousands of people were able to hear that.
So. Yeah, that's definitely 100% true. I totally agree with that. And that's funny that you brought up some of those points, because, you know, you said like how musicians were kind of hermits and we just like kind of do our own thing. In my first podcast, I talked about it. I'm actually creating like a community right now, trying to like get independent musicians together and like to collaborate and work together, because that's exactly true. It's like everybody's in this for themselves as independent musicians, but if we all just like came together in one giant community, we could all help each other out, and it could be really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you could tell anybody listening one thing about the music industry and like how they should tackle it, like what's the one piece of advice that you would give them?
Okay, the first thing that comes to mind, and this is something that a lot of people kind of scoff at me when I tell them this, but get really good at email. Get really good at email. I've worked with Hollywood execs for off and on, you know. I've landed Hollywood gigs off and on for the past probably 5 years. I've done music that was in like Sons of Anarchy. I've done music that was on Hulu, Netflix, you know, all the major streaming platforms, movies, you know, sync placements is what we call them when your song gets put into a movie or a commercial.
Yep.
That's a really good form of residual income, especially if you have a part-time job and like you can also get that bonus check every quarter, you know. So the only way to talk to these people, the only way to work with these people is if you know how to use email and if you're good at checking your email. Not every day, every hour. I check my email every hour. I've checked my email since we've been on this call. I've literally just glanced over to make sure, you know, quick little F5 refresh, make sure that I didn't get anything, because that's your blood right there as a musician, because it's the most formal way still to this day to, you know, for instance, we got this Zoom call together over email,
right?
You know, it was Instagram and then it moved to email. So you start somewhere and then you just need to go to email, either email or text, mm-hmm. but text is a little, you know, more difficult because the attachments and all that stuff. Email is completely compatible with all platforms,
right?
Every cell phone, every blah, 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 you know? So it's just a good practice. Is if you want to work in this industry, you need to email. I mean, I'm talking, I email 100 to 200 people sometimes in a day, and I will just make a list. I'll start at nighttime before I go to bed. You know, I'll get really tired because it's monotonous, but I'll just go through all these different companies that I want to do work for. And then I write up a basic letter of why I should work with them. And, you know, like what I can bring to them. I have some demos attached of my work that I've done in the realm of what I'm trying to do for them. You know, if it's vocals or if it's guitar loops or bass loops, you know, I do all these different things. I got to kind of choose what it is I want to do for them. And then I'll slowly introduce the other things I'm capable of, you know, in the next email or the next project, maybe. Maybe it's in 6 months. And then I put together all these people, and then I go through the next day, and then all day I just hammer out emails to all these people saying, hey, I love your guys' product. I did extensive research on your product, and I think that what I have to offer would be really good for your company, for the people that buy from you. Mm-hmm. And so I think just being really good at email is the best advice I could give. If somebody is wanting to make a living out of this, if it's just they want to get better at production, I would say you can't take a day off. you need to be practicing every day, because there's techniques that I learned to this day, and I've been using the same program for like 13 years. I have FL Studio tattooed on my arm.
Nice.
I have the logo tattooed on me.
That looks really good too. Yeah.
Thank you. The guy that did it is actually outside right now.
Oh, really?
He's my best friend growing up. Yeah, he's a tattoo artist, Eric True. I'm actually producing an album for him right now. He's a really good rapper. But anyways, you know, I'm very dedicated to using this tool, and I've been using it for so many years, but I'm still learning new techniques. And if I don't reapply that technique tomorrow, I will forget it. Yeah. I mean, I'm not some alien guru just because I've used the program forever. You know, like there's just your brain, you need repetition in production to really seal the deal on how things work. Especially as a sound designer, you know, when I'm in Serum and I discover new techniques in Serum, I have to continuously repeat that in order to remember it. Like, you don't just know it forever. If you come back in a week and try to do that thing you only did once,
right,
the chances are you forgot it, you know? So just every day, try to write a 1 minute idea or a 30 second idea, you know? Keep it flowing, because you'll get plugged up. If you spend a week like not doing any music, you'll get plugged up, and when you go to the, when you go back to it, it's gonna feel like you're just stuck. I don't know. You got to get the ball rolling.
Right, right. I totally agree. Awesome, man. Well, that was some. You just dropped some bombs on us.
Awesome, man. Hey, that's what I'm here to. That's what I'm here for.
That's some good information for sure. And I know that you said that you do your own sound design, obviously, because you do the kits and everything that you sell. How do you get your creation flowing? Like, how do you get your ideas flowing for sound design? Like, how do you even do that?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's a lot of different ways. One of my favorite things to do, and something that I do when I'm making new sample packs for people, is I don't go look up songs on Spotify. I don't find the songs that are on Spotify. I actually go on YouTube and I type in a beat and an emotion. So I type in sad beat, or I type in happy beat, or I type in funk guitar beat, or I type in funk soul piano beat, or dark pop beat. And then I just get all these amazing independent artists, right, that are making beats and selling beats, and they're hustling, they're grinding, and I respect that. So I'm going to go to their thing and give them a bunch of views while I listen to all their beats that are sad or dark or whatever it is I'm looking for. Yeah. And then I just kind of jive to it, and I'm just listening, and I go, okay, that's cool. So what I'll do is I'll YouTube to MP3 that beat and just pull it into my DAW, and I'll listen, and then I'll jam along to it. So if I'm doing piano, I'll jam to that piano funk beat, and I'll make my own piano in that key, right? So I'm not copying anything. Yeah. I'm using them as a footstool or inspiration. That's if I have writer's block. Sometimes I just have notes going through my head, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't like to do these polished songs on Spotify. For some reason, it's not the same. Just a beat with some stuff in it that's left pretty empty for vocals. It's empty enough for vocals, then it's empty enough for guitar. It's empty enough for piano. Any lead line you want to throw over a beat, right? You can throw over it. So if I'm doing, you know, if I'm having a saxophone player come to do sax for a project and they want it to be lo-fi trap or trap, let's say retro hip hop, like lo-fi, you know, then I'll grab a retro hip hop beat. I'm not just going to go grab Cypress Hill and throw it in my DAW, because there's vocals cluttering up the whole thing. Right. I'll go and I'll get a retro hip hop beat, and then I'll drop it in my DAW. Now we've got some empty space there for the saxophone to lead through the whole thing. So then I've grabbed that beat, and then I've done that. And then what happens is I delete that beat from my DAW, and all I'm left with is saxophone. So I never used their beat for anything commercially. I never, you know, because I've had people ask me, is that okay? Yeah, it is okay. I can listen to something and jam to it. Nothing says I can't.
Right.
As long as you're not taking the notes from their song or, right, you know, right, doing anything shady like that. But mainly it's just to jam, you know?
Yeah.
Because the best way to come up with new ideas and original samples is for it to happen naturally, especially on like an instrument, you know?
Right, right. Interesting. Nice. That's so funny, because like I listen to my own beats. when I'm trying to get like inspiration, I'll like play some of my old beats that I like had a certain mood for.
Cool.
And that's exactly what I do, is I'll just do that, and I'll just listen to that, and then I'll get in that type of like mentality, and that's how I'll like start doing something on the DAW.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah. Cool, man. That's awesome. I think that's pretty much everything I had for you. You talked so much that you answered a lot of questions I had without me even asking them. So
yeah, I can do that, man. I'm pretty excited about this type of stuff. So
yeah, that's awesome. I want to say thank you for coming on, because it's been a pleasure. You've honestly dropped a lot of good information, especially for the type of audience that is going to be listening to this. And I think they can definitely appreciate what you're
talking about. Yeah, definitely, man. I'm excited to look back on it, and I'm excited to share it with my people as well. So it'll be awesome, man.
For sure. I think that's it for the interview. And I want to say thank you again to Demetri Medina. If you guys want to follow him, you can follow him on TikTok or other social media. And I think your your tag is just at Dimitri Medina, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. The spelling, typically the spelling gets a little bit off. Sometimes people have a hard time spelling it, but
I'll put
put it up in the video if you want.
Yeah, I will. I'll do that. Cool. Well, I'm going to end the interview there. And again, I want to say thank you so much to Dimitri, and
we'll talk to you soon. Yeah, no problem, man. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much.